next logical question is, well, what is the church? Is the church this building that resides at 615 Route 23B in Claverick, New York? What is the building, or what is the church? We are the church. So, doesn't it make sense to follow that if it is the church's responsibility to reach out and impact the world, then it comes down to our responsibility, because we are the church. It is my responsibility. It is your responsibility. We shared or handed out a flyer this morning about some of the children's ministries that we would like to do in this coming year. We can't do them. Kristen and myself and Bill or a couple other people, we can't do it alone. We need everybody within the church to embrace that vision, to realize that, yes, this church has been here for 25 years, but you know, there is still so much more that needs to be done, isn't there? And what we need to do maybe is we need to dare to dream again. You know, when a person has a vision, they have a dream, they say, look, I believe that this is what God is calling us to do, and I believe this is what God can do. The question I have this morning is, how many of us here this morning have a dream? Not a dream just for ourselves personally, because I'm sure everybody does. We have a dream of what we would like to see happen in our life personally. But do you have a dream for the People's Bible Church? Do you have a vision and believe that God can use us, even in spite of things that are happening in this society, even in spite of the fact that people don't seem as receptive today as they did 25 years ago? Do we still believe that God can take this church and make an impact upon our community? If we do, then it comes down to each one of us has to work together. We're only as strong as we are unified. A sad statistic is that in many churches, 10% of the people do 90% of the work. But you can't really move ahead and impact our society for God with that statistic in mind. We need everybody to work together. Everybody that's here has a talent, has an ability. And if we work together, I believe God can do mighty and tremendous things. And I want to take just the next couple weeks before we begin our new series to look at three different topics that I believe are imperative for each one of us to address in our own lives so that we can renew that same vision, that same dream that Bill and Ann had 25 years ago. And those who came on board, those that were part of that first prayer meeting, those that were part of that first church, those church services that were held in Bill and Ann's house, the dream that they had for this group of people to really reach out and impact our community. I believe these three things are vital to help us as we look forward to rekindle those dreams. And again, to establish a strong faith that God still wants to work and do a mighty work. Today's topic has to do with one that is, I believe, a real hindrance to so many in our country and even in the world today when it comes to being out on the forefront for God. And that has to do with our comfort zones.
Jack is happy because he's in his comfort zone. Go, Jack, go. Jack is a good driver. However, he has been stopped for DUI, driving underinflated. Jack loves to go to church. Go to church, Jack, go. Jack used to enjoy visiting with friends over a good meal at church. However, he stopped going to meals at church because meeting new people is out of Jack's comfort zone. Jack used to volunteer in the children's ministry. However, he stopped that because children are outside of his comfort zone. Oh, look at them giggle. That's gonna make Jack cry. Jack tried attending a small group one time. However, the leader said, "Jack, why don't you share with us?" And that, you guessed it, was outside of his comfort zone. Jack has many dreams, desires, and ambitions. He wants his life to count for something. However, that will never happen, because life lived inside the comfort zone is life lived outside of God's will.
Some good truth there, isn't it? You know, small children grow by leaps and bounds because they are willing to take risks and make mistakes. They learn to walk largely by falling down and getting back up. I know we recently had our grandchildren up for a visit, and our granddaughter, Aubriana, you just love to watch them as they're just learning to walk, because they'll walk, they'll fall down, but what do? They get right back up again. And they can do this over and over and over again. And they don't get discouraged because the walking is something that's new and it's exciting, and they keep working at it. They learn to talk by saying words incorrectly and having someone correct them. They're willing to ask 100 times a day, why? You ever heard that question? Why? Why does this happen? As we grow older, we become less willing to try new things. We fear making mistakes. We are reluctant to ask hard questions. We have fallen down too many times. We have failed, and we have felt the pain of failing. We have been hurt by our mistakes. We have grown to love our comfort zones. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verse 15, "Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter into it." Receiving the kingdom of God like a child means having childlike faith. That's one of the things I love about so many young children. It's because of their age, they have not yet learned what they cannot do. And yet many adults have been told over and over again what they cannot do, why they cannot do it, what cannot be accomplished. But let me ask you a question. We talked about this in Sunday school this morning. Do we believe that this is God's inspired word? Do we believe that God's word contains only truth? Well, if that is true, and God's word says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," what limitations does that put upon us? None, right? Me, personally, you can claim the same thing. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What happens too many times, and I've seen it happen over and over again in churches, especially smaller churches, is they've been told what they cannot do. They're convinced that because of size, they're convinced because of resources. They're convinced that because of what's happening in our society today, or they're convinced of because of the community that they live in, that there are all these limitations, and those are the reasons why no matter how hard we try, the church will never be able to grow. The church will never be able to reach out. The church will never be able to make any difference in their community. And unfortunately, too many times, as churches get older, people start believing, well, things are different today than they were yesterday. And that's true, they are. People are not as responsive to the gospel as they were 25 years ago, and in many cases that may be true. People are not as open as they were 25 years ago. We even see within our churches that people don't get involved in church. 25 years ago, churches flourished with not only having their morning service, but evening service, midweek services. You know, even 10, 15 years ago, small group studies were growing. Some churches are still very fruitful with those and others aren't. But what happens so many times is we say, because of all these things, this is what we can't do. But a child doesn't know what he can't do. One of the things I was very blessed with, beginning of last year, we went down to our home in New Brighton to do some work, some painting and things. And it was just such a blessing to have our little grandson, Gabriel, 2.5 years old. He was always there to help me with everything. I went out to the van to carry in some large pieces of a bed. Gabe was there. And it didn't matter how heavy it was, he was going to help me carry it in. And when it came to painting, believe me, he wanted to help me with the painting, you know. But there was nothing he couldn't do. How many times, unfortunately, do we as adults come under the attitude that these are things we just can't accomplish, that we might as well not do it? And getting back to our comfort zones too. So many times we say, well, this is just the way that I am. And my job is to sit on the pew and pray. I believe that with God's grace, many of us can break out of comfort zones and accomplish things and be blessed in ways that we never imagined possible, because we do have that great of a God. You know, Jesus continually challenged people to move out of their comfort zones into new arenas of growth. The disciples of Jesus repeatedly encountered challenges from Jesus. Our scripture text today provides an example of one of the disciples moving out of his comfort zone as he responded to Jesus. As we read this morning in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 32, we see that the setting of our context was the Sea of Galilee. Jesus had just fed the 5,000. And now Jesus was resting while the disciples were out in the boat. And here we find in the life of Peter, God giving him an opportunity to move out of his comfort zone. To move out of our comfort zone means, first, we must face our fears. Every one of us has fears. Some may be stronger than others, and many are different types, but we all have fears. We see one of those fears here in Matthew chapter 14, verse 26, when it says that when the disciples saw Jesus walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. You see, they were crossing the lake. The wind was blowing. They looked up and they saw somebody walking on the water. When was the last time you were out on the water and you saw somebody walking across the water? It would be something that would be frightful, wouldn't it? So they were scared. Peter had to deal with his fear to get out of the boat. They looked up and they saw someone walking on the water. At first they thought it was a ghost. And then they realized that it was Jesus. And we see here that Jesus gives Peter an opportunity to come out, and he invites him to come out onto the water with him. Remember, in this particular situation, the boat would be the comfort zone. And the boat was more comfortable than being out of the boat with all the waves tossing about. The rough water probably made Peter quite uncomfortable. But he'd been in rough water before. But even though he had been in rough water before, He had never seen anyone walking on the water. So Jesus invited Peter to come out. When Peter stepped out of the boat, he stepped out of his comfort zone. I wonder what his first step looked like when he put his foot on the water. His heart must have been pounding. He had to face his fear as he stepped out onto that water. Peter did pretty well for a few steps, didn't he? He was actually walking on the water. Peter was walking towards Jesus. Then he took his eyes off Jesus. And his fear started to get the best of him. He noticed the wind, and his face gave way to fear. Peter started to sink. When faith gives way to fear, we always start to sink. Excuse me. Think about that. When we allow fear to replace our faith, we begin to sink. To move out of our comfort zone, we must face our fears. Fear will keep us in a circle of what is predictable and comfortable. Fear kept God's people in an inappropriate comfort zone when it was time to enter the land that he had promised them. To move out of our comfort zone, we must face our fears. This is true in small issues of life as well as the big issues of life. So first of all, to move out of our comfort zone, we have to face our fears. Secondly, you must learn to focus on Jesus. See, to move out of your comfort zone, you must learn to focus on Jesus rather than the circumstances. With Peter, when his focus was on Jesus, he was able to walk on the water, wasn't he? But as soon as he started thinking about the winds and the waves, as his focus became off of Jesus and onto the circumstances, he began to sink. Peter asked Jesus to let him walk on the water, and Jesus replied, "Come." Matthew 14:29 says, "Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water to Jesus." You know, I see Jesus standing on the water with Peter focusing his eyes on Jesus as he walks towards him. As long as Peter is focusing on Jesus, as long as he looks to Jesus for his strength, he walks on the water. But look at verse 30. It says, "When he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, 'Lord, save me.'" What happened? At first, he had faith. His eyes were on Jesus, and he was able to walk on the water. But when the circumstances became more prevalent in his mind than who Jesus was, as he took his focus off of Jesus and put it on that which was around him, I'm sure the doubt started coming into his mind, and he started thinking, "Look at the wind that's blowing. Look at the waves. Man was never created to walk on water. This can't be happening." And he began to doubt, and he began to sink. And isn't that what happens to us so many times? God tells us, "Yes, you can. Yes, you can make a difference. Yes, you can accomplish these certain things. Look at what you can do. Through me, you can accomplish all things." But then the world tells us, "No, you can't. And here's the reasons why you can't." And what do? We say, that makes sense. You know, if we live in a community where people just aren't really interested in God, then we can't reach them. So why bother? Or whatever the lie is that society wants to give to us. If we embrace that and we just say, well, guess that's the way it is. No sense trying. Then we'll never move forward. So many churches have been hindered in their ministry. So many churches have closed their doors. Why? Because they took their eyes off of Jesus. They took their eyes off of what God could do through them and started listening to what the world told them they couldn't do. I don't know about you this morning, but this morning I do want to believe that with God all things are possible. I do want to believe that the same God who 25 years ago was able to work in the hearts of their unregenerated man and bring him to an understanding of the gospel can still do the same thing in the hearts of man today. It may be a little more difficult. We may need to work a little bit harder. But I believe, not in what I can accomplish, but I believe in what God can accomplish. But God's looking for willing hands. Peter took his eyes off of Jesus. He looked at that which was around him. He began to sink. To move out of your comfort zone, you must learn to focus on Jesus all the time. When life storms surround you, it's easy to focus on the storm, isn't it? It is so easy when things get difficult to get so caught up into what is happening that we lose sight of Jesus. When life gets difficult, when life gets overbearing, when the trials and the storms come, does Jesus head out of town? I love that poem, Footprints, so much. And that's exactly what that poem is talking about. It's talking about a dream a young man had. And as he looked back through his life, he saw footprints going across the sands of time. But he realized during the difficult times, during the trials, that instead of there being two sets of footprints, there were only one. And this troubled his heart. And he turned to Jesus and he asked him, he said, Jesus, I don't understand. You told me that you would never leave me. And I don't understand why during the hard times of my life, you left. Jesus looked at him. I can only imagine what it's like to look into the eyes of Jesus. What compassion, what love. And those compassionate eyes looked into the eyes of the man and he said, my dear son, during those times, it was my footprints that you saw on the sand because I carried you. I carried you through those times. God is here to be with us. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us, does he? He's here to help us. So we can't allow, that's the enemy's job. That's his tactic, to try to bring these storms into our lives, to take our eyes off of Jesus. I've seen that happen so many times also within churches. You can have a person who is just really sold out for the Lord and just really involved in the ministry. And then something happens personally in their own life. And they become so caught up. Not that we're to ignore personal trials, don't get me wrong. But they become so caught up that all of a sudden they're getting involved less and less and less in the Lord's work. And I believe that that can be dangerous. Because I believe, yes, we need to concentrate upon those things that are happening in our personal lives. But we can't neglect the task that God has for us. I believe he's a big enough God to help us to accomplish and address both things in our lives. So when you face great storms, when you face mighty temptations, don't look at the storm and allow your fear to replace your faith. Don't allow your fear to grow. Rather say, by the grace of God, God is my strength. He's the strength of my heart. He's the one that's going to help me to press on and keep moving forward. He's the one that's going to give me the victory and see me through. And that's what we need to do. Allow our faith to grow. And our faith will grow as long as we continue to keep our eyes on Jesus. Many people make the sad mistake that again during those trials and those temptations, to start getting upset at Jesus, to start spending less time with Jesus. And then we wonder why the events seem to get greater and greater and greater, the trials greater and greater and greater. As long as we keep our eyes on Jesus, He'll keep things in perspective. To move out of your comfort zone, you must also be willing to make mistakes. You know, I remember somebody telling me this a long time ago in life. That in life, if you're not willing to step out and take some chances and be willing to make some mistakes and learn from those mistakes, you'll never go anywhere. We get comfortable with things that ought not to feel comfortable. Jesus calls us out of such comfort zones. He calls us to change. You cannot move out of your comfort zone unless you're willing to make mistakes and move beyond them. A quick review of the Gospels indicates that in Matthew, Peter is mentioned 24 different verses, in 24 different verses. In 11 of the 24 verses, he is doing the wrong thing or saying the wrong thing or in some other way missing the mark. That's 11 out of 24 references. In Mark, it is in 11 of 20 verses where Peter is either doing the wrong thing or saying the wrong thing or in some way missing the mark. In Luke, it's 7 out of 18 verses. In John, 10 out of 19 verses. Do you see something happening here? Here's a guy who seems to have about a 50% chance of doing wrong in any given situation. Ultimately, he fails at walking on the water with Jesus' help. He is also the man, though, remember, whom Jesus turns to and says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." What was God saying? That because of Peter's faith, God would still be able to use him. Even though he made a lot of mistakes. What was it that Jesus saw in Peter? I believe he saw a man who didn't wear masks. A man who showed himself as he was. I believe he saw in Peter a man who could change. A man who could be shaped. A man who could grow. He saw in Peter a man who would make mistakes, but who could move beyond those mistakes. Later, Peter discovered that walking on water was not the greatest thing that he could do. He preached at Pentecost, and thousands were saved. He is mentioned many more times in the New Testament after the Gospels. But now we see a different man. He's not a perfect man. But he is more mature. He has grown because of the impact of Jesus in his life. God wants you to move out of your comfort zone. It is not that he enjoys seeing you uncomfortable. He knows that people who move out of their comfort zones are able to grow. And God wants nothing more for each one of us to be able to grow. To grow in our relationship with Him. to become all that He desires for us to be. God desires to bless us. God desires to use us. And there is no greater joy than to be used of God. And that's one of the reasons why God wants us to grow and to learn to be obedient, because He knows that as we are obedient and we are used of Him, we will be blessed. And we will experience a joy unlike any other joy, being used by the mighty God, the creator of this world. Dreams die in our comfort zones. The only way to stay alive is to keep growing. To keep growing, you must keep dreaming. Jesus calls us out of our comfort zones, not because He wants us to squirm, but because He knows that there is a kind of growth that occurs when we move out of what is comfortable to us. This morning, I would just like to leave you with a challenge. I encourage you that as you go home this afternoon, maybe to take a few moments to just sit down. To sit down with God and talk to Him a little bit. And just ask Him, say, God, have I been caught up in my own comfort zones? Is there an area of my life that I've been trying to hold on to and not be willing to yield to You because it's been uncomfortable? And if God says, yes, here's what that area is, will you be willing to say to Him, okay, God, boy, this is tough. But you know what, God? I'm giving it to You today. All right, God, here it is. It's Yours. Will You be willing to step out of that comfort zone and just say, God, wherever You call me, whatever You call me to do, I'm Yours. Because my success doesn't depend on me. It depends on You. Will You be willing to step out and say, you know what, God, I'm willing to give that a try. And even if I fail, I'm not going to get discouraged, because I know You're there to pick me up. I know You're there to put me back on my 2 feet again and point me in the right direction. And so, God, I'm not afraid to press on. As a matter of fact, God, I'm excited. Because as I know is that as I'm willing to come out of my comfort zone and experience some new things, that Your blessings are going to be marvelous. Your blessings are going to be so wonderful. Let us bow together, shall we? With all heads bowed and eyes closed, I'd like to just give you a moment to reflect upon what we shared about this morning. Where do you stand? Have you found yourself cocooned in a comfort zone? Is there an area of your life that maybe you feel God tugging you at to give over to Him, and yet you just haven't been able to because you've not been comfortable? You said, God, I just don't know how I can do that. This morning, are you willing to say, God, here is my life. And God, I'm willing, and I want You to help me to break out of that comfort zone so that I can experience life as its fullest, as You have intended it for me. Are you willing to say, God, I believe You. And God, I want to dream. I want to dream about what can be. Because I know with You all things are possible. I encourage you this morning that if there's been something that you have been struggling with and has been keeping you from fully giving yourself to God. Turn it over to Him this morning. Just in a simple prayer, say, God, I know I've been struggling with this, and this morning I want to give it to You. If you are praying a prayer like that this morning, I do want to remember you in prayer. Nobody's looking around. All eyes are closed. Heads are bowed. But if you want prayer, and just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me, because there are some things I'm dealing with and I want to be able to give them over to God. Is there anyone at all? Just slip your hand up and put it back down. Yes, praise the Lord. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning. And we thank You, Lord, for who You are, that You are the great and the mighty God. Father, it's awesome when we think about who You are. And yet You're willing to reach out to us. You're willing to give us Your Son, the Lord Jesus. And we thank You for the salvation that we have through His death, burial, and resurrection. And Father, I pray that You will be with us as individuals, that You'll be with us as a church. And Father, help us to be willing to break out of our comfort zones and to be willing to say, okay, God, here I am. Here is every area of my life and I give it to You. Father, help us not to listen to what the world says can't be done, but help us to continue to focus upon You and Your words and Your truth. And accept what can be done. So that, Father, in these next 25 years, if You should tarry, that, Father, we could accomplish even greater things in Your name than we've accomplished in the last 25 years. For, Lord, our desire is to see others come to know Jesus Christ. Our desire is to see relationships healed. To see families strengthened. To see people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, to work together. Using all our resources, our abilities, our talents. Lord, to give that extra. So that again, Father, we might truly make a great impact upon those that You entrust to us. Father, I pray for those who raised their hand this morning. And I pray, Father, that You would just work within their heart. And whatever it is that they're struggling with, Father, that You would minister to them as only You can. And that You would bless them for their willingness to make that decision to give it over to You. Bless them, Lord. Father, we just pray that as we leave here today, that You would use us. Use us in a way that will let others know that there is no greater joy than knowing Jesus. No greater joy than being part of Your family. That You have the answers that they're looking for. And Father, we just give You all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.